Welcome to Immigration Nation, a podcast that dives deep into the complex and often misunderstood world of United States immigration. Through interviews with leading U.S. immigration attorneys, this podcast aims to provide a comprehensive overview of the policies, struggles, and victories within the ever-changing world of immigration. Each episode will offer fresh perspectives and valuable insight using real-life stories to navigate our nation's immigration system. If you have an immigration question or an existing case, join us here on Immigration Nation, because this podcast was made for you.
Hello, I'm Gary Davis. I'm a board-certified immigration lawyer. I'm a founder of Davis & Associates. We do just immigration law, and our offices are in Houston and Dallas, Texas. But we have clients all over the world. I've been practicing for 23 years in exclusively immigration law. And it's what I am, it's who I am, it's what I love to do. And so I'm really glad to be here today.
And I'm Scott Berry. I'm one of your hosts for Immigration Nation. And we're very excited today. Anytime that we get Gary Davis in the podcast studio, we are thrilled to pick his brain and to teach you things that will help make your immigration journey more smooth and more successful. So today, we're going to talk about consultations. So if you think you might need an immigration attorney, one of the very first steps is to reach out to one and ask for a consultation. Now, what does that mean? What does it look like? What do I bring? How much does it cost? There's just a lot that goes into that. And we've got someone here that has performed tens of thousands of consultations. And even though he has one of the premier immigration law firms in the nation, he's still doing consultations himself every single week. Join us for a great conversation with Gary Davis today. Hello, I'm Scott Berry. I'm your host today with Immigration Nation, and we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Gary Davis, board certified attorney for immigration law. Hello, Gary.
Hi, glad to be here.
So we're going to talk today about consultations. So when someone thinks, I don't know, this could be too complicated, I think I maybe need to talk to an attorney, I don't know if I need to hire one yet, but I definitely need to talk to an attorney, they will give you a call and ask for a consultation, right? It's kind of a common thing across the U.S. with all immigration attorneys.
Sure, right? That's right.
So when people do that, what generally happens in a consultation? Why are they calling? What do they want to talk about?
Well, I mean, they probably have a question about immigration law, and typically it's related to options. So it's either going to be, you know, I would like to come to the U.S., or I have a family member that would like to come to the U.S. What are my options? Mm. I'm here in the U.S. on this visa. I'd like to do something different while I'm here. Are there ways to do that? Or something changes in their family situation. I've recently married. What are my options for, you know, becoming permanent here? Or a U.S. citizen may come in and say, you know, I was outside the U.S. visiting family and met somebody and fell in love. What are my options to bring that person here? Or as an employer that says, look, my business is growing. I'm having a hard time finding people. What are my options to bring in foreign labor when I can't find people here that are able to work for me? You know, those kinds of things are the kinds of discussions that we have in consultation.
Hey, why don't people just Google it?
I mean, you can, but you may have a hard time getting really good information. Most of what you find on Google when it comes to immigration is either going to be politically motivated or, frankly, marketing motivated, right?
Yep.
So it's not necessarily information motivated. Mm. The closest you get to finding information is by going to the government's website. But the problem is, what people don't realize is the government, in terms of immigration process, is so fragmented. Like, we could have one case and be involved with the Department of Justice, the Department of Labor, the Department of Homeland Security, multiple agencies within the Department of Homeland Security, including USCIS, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, Customs and Border Protection, which is the Border Patrol guys. Plus, you've got the U.S. consulates, which are all under the Department of State. Yeah. So we could literally have one case that covers four different agencies. So it's not really possible, the more complex the scenario, to go to one government source, which again is basically the closest we have to reliability, on the information and leaving out all other interests other than just providing information. Because there's so many different options and pathways.
Forget about finding the truth.
It's just really, really challenging. Uh-huh. But it's why guys like me have a job, right? Because the stuff becomes so complex at a certain point as the bureaucracy continues to grow that to navigate it, you need people like us to help. Yeah.
That do it every day.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, because it changes all the time. That's the other side of it is immigration, mm-hmm. unlike many other areas, maybe tax would be close or even more. But, I mean, outside of, like, tax and immigration, I don't know that there's any other area of law that changes so rapidly, so quickly. Policy changes from the administration, court cases that come out that affects
it. You don't always see it coming either.
You can't. It's just like, out of the blue.
Yeah, just an announcement that something's been extended or something has
exactly.
to be done differently.
Or when, like, President Obama put in the Deferred Action Program back in 2012, I was literally about to leave for vacation. Mm-hmm. I had to cancel my vacation because I had to let my network know, my clients and other people know, that this new thing has just happened out of the blue for us, and now there's this huge option, an opportunity for people to take advantage of a new program or a new process, or now we need medical exams that have this thing in it, or the medical exam now has changed. Immigration lawyers have to keep up with this stuff on a regular basis to be able to pivot and to help their
have
clients pivot whenever there's those kinds of changes that come all the time from the government.
So when someone wants a consultation anywhere in the United States, it could be any city,
sure.
any state.
Or even the
right?
world for that matter. But
they when they call to set it up, are they free? Are they $100, $300, $1,000? What should they expect to find?
It just depends on the firm. Everybody has a different thought on this, to be honest. There's no consistency. There's no standard.
Okay.
I would say that most of the time, consultations are going to have some fee because, you know, people want to hear what they want to hear. And when they don't hear what they want to hear from the first person they talk to, if they know somebody's doing a free consultation, they're going to go talk to that person, right? Just to see if maybe this guy's got a different idea, right? Because they know how complex it is. And so generally it's going to be a fee, but not always. And, you know, it just depends on the firm and how they operate and what their goals are. But to be fair, by and large, immigration lawyers generally will charge some kind of a fee for a consultation.
I mean, most people know attorneys don't work for free.
That's right. We're trading our time and our knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And so there's value to that.
Yeah. A consultation in general, what would that look like? Like, what's the process? What happens at the beginning? What happens
sure.
at the end?
Well, I mean, there's got to be kind of an intake process that happens so that we understand what the issue is so that we can try to tailor our advice to fit into that scenario, whatever it is. And there's different ways that different firms do it to collect that information. Some people have like a questionnaire you fill out online. Mm-hmm. Other people have like an intake person, a specialist or administrator that'll call in advance to gather that information. Sometimes it's just sitting with the attorney. The attorney asks all the questions. You come in and a paralegal sits with you to get all that information. We got to get the information first. And then it's the attorney's job to basically break down that scenario to then help that person that's consulting with them understand. If it's a good consultation, it's going to be help you understand what your options are, help you understand the pros, cons, you know, costs, process for each
for
of
each
those
option,
and then why we would recommend one over the other. And then if, you know, the most important one, I think, is that if it turns out that someone really doesn't have an option, a good consultation is going to end with an explanation about why. So frequently, people are told, look, you don't have any options, get out of my office. And I think that's a miss because I think they have a right, because they took their time to come into the attorney's office, they have a right to understand why it is. What is it about their situation or the law that makes it so that they don't have an option? And it is just being a good person, not just being a good lawyer, but being a good person to share that information with them so that they understand. And frequently when I've got somebody that comes in clearly desperate for an option, and I give them the bad news that there isn't an option, which happens sometimes, I will literally go print out the statute, the law that makes it so, I highlight it for them, I teach it to them, this is what it says, this is how it applies, this is why you fit in. And then I also encourage them, because I know they're desperate for an option, when you go see the next guy who's not going to be honest with you, Make sure that you show them this law and ask them how they're going to get past that.
Yeah, make them address it.
Make them address it, because that way you know that they're aware that you've got the issue. And if they have a good answer for you and you're comfortable with it, okay. But, I mean, the truth is, it's probably not, and I don't want people to get taken advantage of. So
you brought up a really interesting point is there are going to be cases where an attorney says to a legal consumer, I can't help you.
That's right.
You can't hire me. Right.
But then the follow-up question needs to be why. Okay. The person has a right, I think, as somebody that's come into that office, spent their time or their money or both, to come into the office and have a conversation. They need to be able to understand by the time they leave why it is that that's the answer. Not just that that's the answer, it's not good enough. They need to know why.
So, professional courtesy.
Yeah.
Right? But not everybody, they don't all do them the same.
That's
right?
Correct.
So lawyers don't all follow the same process.
Correct.
Unfortunately, it's kind of a different experience based on who the individual attorney is.
That's correct.
That's not probably what people want to hear.
Well, we're just
that's
people.
That's what they should expect.
At the end of the day, we're just people, right? And so, you know, I think most of us that are in this business are in this business because we want to help people and we want to make an impact on the world and change the world and all that, you know, stuff. That's part of the reason why those of us in the business choose this path of law. There's lots of ways to practice law. Our license allows us to practice any kind of law we want to. So why do people choose immigration? And part of the reason for that is because of the impact that it makes. And so I think the consultation is no less important to that, to making that impact. If that's why you're in this business, then that's another opportunity to prove that's why you're in this business, right? Is to make that impact and to help people. So
is there, when someone, whether they get a free consultation or they pay a little bit for it, is there an expectation from the attorney that, hey, at the end of this, you know, I expect you to hire me?
That's going to come down to, I mean, yeah, the answer is yes, if there's an option, right? Because it's not infrequent that an attorney is going to have a conversation with someone where, as I mentioned earlier, there's not an option for that person, okay?
But if there is.
But if there is, then yes, there is an expectation that they would choose to engage them. But it's on the attorney in the consultation to help that potential customer or client understand the value that they're bringing to that situation, right? I mean, the way that we do it in our office is if there is an opportunity for us to provide a service, then we make sure that that person consulting with us leaves with a clear understanding of how to engage us should they choose to do that. Not that it's high pressure sales. We're not, you know, not letting them leave or let me get my manager. It's nothing like that. It's not hardcore sales, okay? But we do want them to understand the steps that are involved to get us engaged, to help them with that process. But then to also take a few minutes to help them understand the value that we're bringing, the scope of the work that we're doing, and you know how the fee is set up and how it's paid, and can we do a payment plan on this service? What does that look like? And then how involved are we going to be at each stage of the process as we take them through the journey? Because these days, especially since COVID, with backlog and processing times being what they are, it really is a journey with your lawyer. And long time horizons sometimes. And so, you know, you want to know exactly what it is that they're going to be doing to help you along the way, how to communicate with each other along the way, and just the scope of service, what it is, you know, the level and scope, what it is that we're going to be doing to help that person through their immigration process.
So one of the reasons why we wanted to ask you to talk about this is, you know, as a board certified immigration attorney that founded his own firm,
right,
that started out two people, three people, and now you have in the neighborhood of how many?
Working in the office? Like 50?
So 50.
Yeah.
So you have one of the top firms in the country, right?
I would say for immigration, yeah.
Yeah. And can you even begin to estimate how many consultations that you've done over your career? I mean, if you think about how many
over
years.
Over my career? No, yeah. Not really. I mean, as a firm.
I mean, tens of thousands?
It's tens of thousands. Yeah.
Tens of thousands. Of
yeah,
these,
it's right? Tens of thousands, yeah.
So Gary really knows what these things are like, and he's laying some truth on you so that you know what to expect so that this could be successful for you, right? Because they're not always successful. Sometimes people,
correct,
they meet an attorney, they leave, they're upset.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't listen, she didn't listen,
that's right,
whatever.
That's right.
So we want to give them the tools to go in and have some success, because there's even sometimes there are things they should bring with them, right?
Absolutely. It's incredibly helpful, especially if there's some history, right? If there's, you know, relationships in the past that have ended, like a divorce or something, if there's criminal history or encounters with immigration, decisions with immigration in the past, maybe a previous denial or something. The more of that kind of documentation, criminal record, deportation history, decision information from the government, anything that can help us to understand what the government is looking at as we present an application to them, or that they're going to need to be able to present the application, that's going to be really helpful to bring that along so that we can assess it.
But what if I'm embarrassed about something in the past and so I don't tell you about it, right? I don't want you to know everything about my
life. Well, I mean, I think of that as kind of like going to a doctor and saying that your head hurts when really it's your foot. Doctor can't help you with your hurt foot if you're telling the doctor that your head hurts, right? It's the same for us. We have to know the history. It's all confidential. I mean, everything that you say in a consultation does not leave that room. It's one of our ethics requirements as licensed attorneys.
Right.
Yeah, that we have to keep it confidential.
That's not your law firm. This is bar association.
No, that's correct. That's very deep in the law, right? Any violation of confidences could cause someone to lose their license.
I mean,
right?
In a way, like the doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
We all see that on TV, patient, right. Doctor, confidentiality.
Exactly right.
You've got this
correct
as well.
That is correct. Okay. And so you want to be open and put it all on the table, regardless of the circumstance, because the truth is that even if you haven't told anybody, there's a really good chance the government knows
it's on the internet somewhere.
Who knows, right? I mean, but somehow the government's going to find it. So there's no hiding from it. And so it only hurts you to not let your lawyer know when you've got that issue, because if we don't know about it, we can't help you try to address it or deal with it.
Yeah. If it pops up later,
it's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
If we know from the beginning, then we can help you come up with a plan to strategize around it. But if we don't know,
it could kill the whole thing.
It absolutely can.
It's probably got a large likelihood if it pops up.
That is correct. The chances of you outsmarting the government is very small. It's just not going to happen. Not these days.
So a couple more questions.
Sure.
Is there anything, tips that you could give a legal consumer who has scheduled a consultation, mindset, preparation? How did they, they're talking about the case, they're going to have to make a decision as to whether or not to hire this attorney at the end, right? How do they know what to look for? How do they know the legal consumer, like, how do they know if this was a good enough conversation for me to hire this person? It's not that easy.
Right. So there are a couple things that I would say is first of all, consider the process that gets them into the office for the consultation.
Okay.
I think that matters.
How did that go?
And were they efficient? Were they responsive? Those kinds of things.
They should be evaluating the firm
from the very beginning.
Exactly. Contact.
Exactly. Now, a lot of immigration firms are small, and so there may not be a lot of bureaucracy around getting into the office. Some are larger like ours, and so there may be some. But assessing that, first of all. But I think more importantly, it's about assessing the attorney. How much are they willing to share about the how and the why of what they're recommending? If you sit down and tell your lawyer, this is what I'm dealing with, what are my options? And they say, H-1B, here's a contract, how would you like to proceed? Okay, how about what is H-1B? How about how do I file an H-1B and what's required in the process?
Option?
And are there other options that maybe I should consider? What are the pros and cons of
this
decision?
What is the cost?
What is the cost of this? Exactly, right? And so it really, I think, comes down to how much are they willing to share about the option that they're recommending and why they think it's the best option for you, how well they answer the rest of your questions that you have. Wait, I read on the internet about this other thing. How does that apply to me and how does that fit in? Is that something that I can pursue? How open and willing are they to have that conversation, or even able? Because, some of these visa types are not all lawyers that do immigration do all the visa types, because there's just many that they can't get competent on all of them, right? Yeah. It's just really hard to do that. And so it's about the rapport that you have with the attorney, how educated you feel about your option and comfortable that this person is going to be able to get you through it successfully and be there for you to get you through it successfully. And that kind of thing. I think that's how, if I were in someone's shoes, I would make the assessment. How well do I understand my options, the pros and cons, and the process itself, and how that lawyer is going to help me get there by the time I leave? And if the answer is I'm still pretty confused, probably not the right relationship.
Yeah, one more. One of the things that I think, and this, I'll ask you to respond to this last question, it's a little bit personal, but I've noticed that you've been doing this for a really long time. You have an amazing firm. It's gotten big, and there's a lot to manage.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. But you have chosen to still work on cases, but more importantly, you still do consultations.
I do.
Right?
Yeah, I do.
And I would think there are a lot of firms whose founder has been successful and built to this size, doesn't have time for consultations anymore.
Right.
But you make time for that. And would you close us with why you choose to do that?
That's a good question. There's a couple of answers I can give you. And first of all, the attorneys that work for me and that I have a relationship with, I have tremendous respect for, and they do a fantastic job. They're super intelligent. They learn quickly. And I have nothing but respect for all of those guys. And so, you know, generally having a consultation with one of our associate attorneys is going to be really good.
Right.
But as I've gone down this path and taken this journey with immigration as my kind of career, and it's how I provide for my family, it's how, you know, we have an opportunity for growth within our firm and for our attorneys and other employees. The touch point of the consultation, to me, it's sort of, I guess, what fills me up still. A lot of my colleagues that have gotten to our size or bigger have decided to step away from consultations. I don't fault them for that. And,
right.
And maybe for business reasons.
The personal decision.
That's right. For business reasons, maybe it would be something that I should do at some point. And who knows, maybe I will. But as of today, it's something that still fills me up. It's something that, you know, breaking down a scenario and giving people hope, seeing in their eyes when they say, but these other guys told me there was no option for me, and now you're telling me that there is, please help me understand. And you see the tears, you see the relief, you see the hope. I can't get that by running a business.
Yeah.
I get that opportunity to change people's lives in that way and to find those opportunities and solutions for them in consultations. And so that's why I choose to still do them.
I'm so glad we had you in today. And I hope this was very helpful to our listeners and our viewers. We got you someone who is extremely experienced in this area that has been doing them for many, many years, tens of thousands of them, and still doing them today because he loves it and has a passion for it. Gary, thanks for visiting with us.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This podcast has been prepared for general information purposes only and is not legal advice. This information is not intended to create, and receipt of it does not constitute an attorney-client relationship.